Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster and Ray Allen, the Buckmaster Allen team, back together again. Ray back from a couple of days of vacation. And of course, I was off, and Ray did such a great job sitting here in the anchor chair. A couple of shows that he hosted did very well. Always a pleasure to see his smiling face on the other side of the glass. The Buckmaster Show on this, the first day of June, Thursday, 2017, coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI. We've got our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. 790-2040 is our live line number. If there's something you would like to contribute to the program, right off the bat, we have Tucson City Councilman, Democrat from Ward 6, Steve Kasachek, on the live line. Councilman, how are you today?
Doing great. How are you doing, Bill?
Doing very well. While I was away and I didn't get much news in the South Pacific, I did hear that the initiative, the tax increase, did pass. I didn't get all the details. Was it a pretty good margin or what?
Yeah, every single ward in the city passed it overwhelmingly. The closest one, I believe, is Ward 5 out on the east side, and it's still passed by about 10 points out there. The Midtown area passed it on a 70-30 basis, and the city overall, it was about a 20-point spread. So this community heard the message, and the message was that we have responsibly balanced our budget from a structural standpoint, from our operations perspective. The Prop 101 was a capital needs request: police vehicles, fire vehicles, road repair, and these are capital investments. And the community said yes, let's invest in the community. It's got a 5-year sunset, the half cent sales tax 5-year sunset. So we'll reassess after 5 years as to what the needs are. My suspicion is that we will have made a significant enough dent in the public safety element of this that we can completely sunset that. Frankly, I did not think we should have sunsetted the roads piece in 5 years. I think that's going to be an ongoing capital need. And my preference would have been to simply say, let's take a half of what we just asked for and keep it going in perpetuity, earmarked for road reconstruction. There was an argument counter to that, which I bought into, and that was in 5 years, the RTA may be up for a reauthorization again. There's some chatter right now about making road repair a part of that if it's reauthorized, which I have supported for 5 years. But now that the conversation's alive again, let's, you know, kind of keep our powder dry in terms of the permanency of the road piece of this. The second thing is that the state is evidently making a commitment to slow down the sweeping of our HERF dollars, our gas tax money. That can go to road repair, among other things, though. And the county is also looking at some regional initiatives. So we will sunset the whole thing in 5 years and take a look. And if it is going to be extended, it will be, again, up to the voters. That's not something that the council can do unilaterally. And that's the way it should be, because we're spending taxpayers' money.
Well, I think this is a big yes to the citizens of Tucson, who really have seen the improvements with what has been going on over the last 4 or 5 years. And they want to see it continue, don't they?
Oh, I totally agree with that, Bill. The voters passed Prop 409 4.5 years ago. We're now in the last year of Prop 409, and that is property tax assessment earmarked for road repair. We told the voters back before that went on the ballot exactly which arterials were going to be touched, so they can look at them and see, okay, they said they're going to do Speedway or Broadway or Grant or whatever, pick your road. Did they do it or not? And so there's total transparency and accountability with respect to the arterials. We also set up a completely non-political bond oversight committee made up of citizens working with the Department of Transportation and civil engineering professionals to take a look at the residential streets and do a triage of them and over the course of the last 4.5 years, allocate the dollars that we've had for residential areas in not necessarily on a worst first basis, but on the basis of sort of looking at what treatments are needed and how can we extend the number of linear miles that we're touching with the dollars. That bond oversight committee will remain And we can now do that same kind of assessment with this Prop 101 money, the new half-cent sales tax money, which is, I think, the right thing to do. I want to completely depoliticize the selection of which residential areas get the attention with this money, and let the people who are in a position to do the assessment and to make the analysis of how do we get the most bang for our buck with respect to these dollars, let them make that call.
And a big shout out to former Mayor Bob Walkup. His name will now be permanently inscribed at the interchange at Keno and 22nd. Congratulations, Mayor Walkup.
Bob was mayor when I took office in 2009. He was also the mayor in 2006 when the RTA was adopted by the voters. And the what's significant of that is that a big project included on the under the umbrella of the RTA was that interchange. We had him down at a council meeting a couple of weeks ago, receiving this recognition. Today was the dedication, and in the same way that we recognized Tom Volge for the underpass over on Speedway at Warren, my concern going into this was: is this really fitting? A fitting recognition for the person that we're honoring with it, and in both cases, Tom and Bob Volge, Tom Volge and Bob Walkup both said yes. The projects that we were identifying were things that they felt were significant and emblematic of work that they had done. So I agree with you. Congratulations to Bob on the recognition. He's thrilled by it, and I'm glad to have been a part of it.
I want to shift gears here. An issue that was brought to my attention, Councilman, just before airtime by our station owner, Doug Martin, who was down at an event at the Fox last night, and he noticed that there are about 50 or 60 now homeless people in the park area by the main Valdez Library. Are you aware of what's going on down there?
Yeah, we have. I saw Doug's post on his Facebook page. I can tell him and tell your listeners that we are very aware of what's going on. We have adopted the homeless work program, which I know he's a big supporter of. Where we are actually putting homeless people to work. We have a lot of private sector involvement in that as well to help fund it. It's going very well right now, and we're touching lives with it. In addition to that, we have what's called a Summer in the Heat program, where we are using libraries, also the Ward 6 Council office, as a collection center for things for people who are out in the heat, whether it's sunscreen or water or the kinds of provisions that that you and I would like to have if we were sitting out in a park on a 100-degree day. And we will help to distribute the provisions that people bring in and donate to the different distribution centers and different the homeless sites. We also have just adopted, or we are in the final stages of adopting our budget again this year. We'll have between $1.5 million and $2 million out of our general fund going into the Housing and Community Development Department, with which they leverage another $20 million. And that money goes to areas like Primavera Foundation and some of the centers that are around town, like the Gospel Rescue Mission and others that Doug mentioned in his Facebook post, that are involved in touching the homeless population. It's something that we deal with all the time. There was a wise man about 2,000 years ago who said, "You will have the homeless with you always, the needy with you always," and we have a compassionate heart in this community. We are already seeing donations come in for the program I mentioned to you, the Summer in the Heat program, and that will continue throughout the summer.
Where can people then donate to that program, Summer in the Heat?
We're taking donations at the Ward 6 office, and I know the libraries all over town are also donation centers.
And the program Tucson Homeless Work got underway in early April, so it's a couple of months into that program. Has it been successful so far?
Yeah, and hopefully this is going to be so successful. We also have a new thing called the Tucson Change Movement, which are kind of faux parking meters scattered around town that people can donate money, and that money also goes to the summer work program and homeless needs. So yes, the homeless work program is successful to the point that it is. In order to renew it and to grow it, we're going to need more private sector donations. And I am confident that the business community will see the value in this, putting people to work, getting them into the treatment modalities that they need, and they are varied and all over the map. Anything from homeless needs to behavioral health needs to drug rehab needs to job skills, you name it. And if you're living on the street, you're going to find somebody who's got that wide array of needs. So we're hopeful that we can grow this program over time. It is a pilot right now, but I am without doubt that given the success we've seen so far, that we're going to see the business community step up and want to keep it going.
All right. We'll have more with Steve Kasachek after we take our first break here on the Buckmaster Show, where it's exactly 12:15. We'll be right back. The excitement is building for the grand opening in 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Summer reading is free and fun at the Pima County Public Library. Visit library.pima.gov to find your next favorite book and browse hundreds of activities and special events just for kids now through July 15th. Dream big this summer. Visit your local library or library.pima.gov to find out how.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, Congresswoman Martha McSally. Also, our Friday roundtable features Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star. Plus, Matt Russell with Weekend Watch on Buckmaster during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. And we're always on BuckmasterShow.com.
Welcome
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on the first day of June. Councilman Steve Kasacek is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line, and the councilman will have an opponent. This was filing week. The deadline for filing for there are three wards that folks are standing for re-election. There's a gentleman, a Republican, Mariano Rodriguez, councilman, who will be running against you. Do you know anything about this gentleman?
Oh, I do. Yeah, I certainly do. There are three races. Richard Fimbres will run unopposed in Ward 5. Karen Ulick is not going to be running for re-election in Ward 3. And right now there are three Democrats who turned in their petitions and one independent, a guy named Gary Watson. So they will be facing off in Ward 3. So in Ward 6, Mariano Rodriguez, he is an unabashed Trump Republican who wants to build the wall. He was so enamored with Trump when he was elected that he told CNN that he cried when he was elected. I would say lots of us cried, but probably not for the same reasons that Mariano did. He actually sent in his resume to go and work for the guy. We have a good story to tell in this community right now, and you look at the downtown redevelopment and the successes we've had in the last 7 or 8 years since I started doing this. We've got a grocery store, CVS is moving, and we got a hotel that's going to be privately funded and not the $200 million public sector fund, one that was on the books when I started this. We've got the Roadrunners as an anchor tenant downtown. Cathedral site going up. There's a Hulualoa site, City Park, Lafayette. I mean, so just we got $500 million in private sector development that's happened in the last 8 years downtown. And while that was not something that any one person did, I've certainly been working hard with the Rio Nuevo board, with the city council, city management, city attorney, to put the incentives in place to make this happen. So if Mr. Rodriguez has a compelling story to tell that would tip that apple cart over, then he's welcome to bring it to the table. But my sense is that we are on a good trajectory right now in this community. I'm not going to roll around in the dirt with the guy, but I will certainly stand on the record that I've put together and say we are doing well. And in fact, I would point out that, as you indicated earlier in the show, we just got a pretty huge vote of confidence from the people in this community saying, we trust you with our money for the next 5 years. Do this $250 million capital needs and infrastructure sales tax, and my message to them is keep us under the microscope. Watch what we do with it, just as we did with Prop 409. So, yeah, Mariano Rodriguez, a Republican Trump guy, and my sense is that he probably does not reflect the values of this community. The guy I mentioned and this is relevant, the guy that I mentioned who's running in Ward 3, Gary Watson, he initially wanted to run as a Republican, according to him, the Republicans would not endorse him because they say he wasn't right-wing enough for him. He did support Prop 101, as I understand it. So that's why he's running as an independent. So either Mariano is way over to the right with the Republican Party, or he didn't tell the truth to the Republican Party, so he's going to have to either answer to that.
All right, there's a caller, Sean, who would like to talk about Mariano. Go ahead, Sean.
So, Steve, let's have a brief conversation about how you made an accusation against Mariano that during a Halloween parade, he gave out Trump bumper stickers or Trump paraphernalia. And you know full well, sir, that that's a lie.
No, actually, Sean, that's not true. His own neighbors were the ones who told me that they were so taken by the fact that not only did he have the Trump sign in his front yard, but on Halloween night last October, right before the election, he was stuffing Trump stuff in little kids' bags. So that I didn't invent that. I was told that by his own neighbors. So if he's got an issue with that story, he's got an issue with his neighbors, not me.
All right, let's go to Chuck on the live line about roads. Go ahead, Chuck.
Yes, Councilman. Can you tell me, I've got a couple questions about roads. Can you tell me how much currently is in the operating budget for roads, road work?
Okay. In the operating budget, that by definition is not the operations pay for roads are a capital need, And so what we, when we're looking at our capital budget, that's our HERF dollars, that's the gas tax money, and that's split between things like medians and relamping street lights and median repair, that kind of thing, sidewalks, et cetera. And so we don't use operating dollars for road reconstruction. That's one of the significant parts of Prop 101 is that we said right there on the ballot that we are not going to use these dollars for operations. It's all going to capital needs.
So that the current budget, how does this play or does it play in this the passage of the sales tax increase? Does this affect the budget in any way for the next fiscal year?
If this had not passed, mm-hmm. then we would have this ongoing capital need that we would have had to turn around and do what Chuck was suggesting, and that is look into the existing transportation department budget and start to make decisions that say, okay, we're going to cut back services in one area in order to repave roads in another. There is not $20 million a year of fat in the operations budget for the Tucson Department of Transportation to do what Prop 101 is going to do. And that's simply, we're going to get a whole lot more work done in the community as a result of this than would otherwise have been the case.
How about the number one challenge that you see with this budget? Is it the public safety pension program?
Oh, yeah, without doubt. And unfortunately, that's a piece of this That's a piece of our budget that we don't have control over in terms of the financial obligation. We have two different pension plans. One is public safety workers, and one is non-public safety workers. The non-public safety workers is the pension plan that we do control, and that is at about a 71-72% funded ratio right now. The public safety pension is handled strictly out of the state legislature, and so they write the rules and we write the check. We're going to write almost an $85 million check out of the general fund this fiscal year to pay for public safety pensions, and that's unsustainable. The legislature took a stab at making a change a couple of years ago. It was thrown out in court. We're now paying a lump sum payment for the second time to make up for bad legislation that was drawn. The voters passed, I think it was Prop 204 a couple of years ago or last year, that was supposed to sort of restructure the public safety pension on a one-time opener basis. That was good that it passed. It passed overwhelmingly, but the honest truth is that that's not going to help us for another decade. It's going to be like turning the Titanic around. And so you're right. That's the number one challenge. It's kind of the elephant in the room every time we sit down and talk about the budget. Unfortunately, we can't change those rules. They come out of the state, but we do write the check.
And for the owner of an average priced home, will there be any kind of an increase this year in their primary property tax?
As a result of?
The new city budget.
No, we are not. No, we are not. In fact, we are lowering our property taxes, both okay. primary and secondary this year compared to what they were last year. Which is a good thing, because what the county is talking about doing is increasing their assessment in order to put a 25-cent road reconstruction assessment onto their property taxes. So we're lowering ours, the county's raising theirs, but I'm not slamming the county, because they have a need for roads as well, and about $8 million of that's coming into the city.
And we're going to talk in about 15 minutes with Priscilla Cornelio, the transportation director with the county. But let's work in Mike here as a final call with Steve Kasajek. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I have a question about the city pension. Why doesn't the city have a defined contribution plan rather than a defined benefit plan, so it's more like the rest of us out here in working land have to contribute to our own pensions?
Okay. It's the plan we have, but we are about a month ago we began a conversation at a study session in which we are looking at offering employees an option. It's a matter of restructuring the plan. We can't force it on them, but we can certainly make the offer. People who want to flip over to a new kind of plan, and so that is something that we're talking about doing.
Police chief was on the show before I left for vacation. He was hoping for the best with the passage of the sales tax increase, and so I imagine law enforcement in the city are very happy right now.
Law enforcement is. The same is true of the fire department. So our public safety workers are very happy to see the fact that they're going to be getting new vehicles and some consolidation and remodeling of some of the fire stations and police stations, substations. And in addition to that, we've talked quite a bit about the roads in this last half hour. So I think all the entire community benefits from what just happened.
All right, Steve Kasacek, be careful out there on your daily run. It's going to be over 100 here very soon. Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
Okay, bye-bye.
Take care.
The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Summer reading is free and fun at the Pima County Public Library. Visit library.pima.gov to find your next favorite book and browse hundreds of activities and special events just for kids now through July 15th. Dream big this summer. Visit your local library or library.pima.gov to find out how.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Dive into the culture section with the latest on the arts. Book reviews from Rebecca Guthrie. What movies are hot or not from Bob Garber. Eric Peters brings his unique point of view with his auto reviews. Check out where you could vacation regardless of the season. It is culture news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
Well, Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show as we speak with one of the most successful comet discoverers in history. He has discovered 23 comets, including his co-discovery of Shoemaker-Levy 9, the comet that collided with Jupiter in 1994, producing the most spectacular explosions ever witnessed in the solar system. He is David Levy. Dr. Levy is the former science editor of Parade magazine. He's now head of and founder of Sharing the Sky Science Education Organization. We're also delighted to have David as one of our two dozen regular contributors to the Buckmaster Show. Dr. Levy, how are you?
Hello, Dr. Buckmaster. It's good to speak with you again.
Well, it's great to be back. Great to be back in the saddle. But, you know, one thing about my trip to Tahiti, everybody says, oh, my gosh, the beaches, the color of the water. I got to talk about the night sky. It is spectacular.
I heard you got a lovely view of the cross.
We got a beautiful view, not only in Tahiti, but further south in the Cook Islands. The Southern Cross was pretty much overhead with the Milky Way just to the right as you would be looking up at it.
Yes, it's pretty easy to spot that, and I did when I just was in Brazil about a month before you were gone. And but especially, tell me about Orion. That's interesting.
Well, that was something I did not expect. The sunset, of course, below the equator, and well, really almost year-round, is about 6 o'clock in the evening. I'd say about 6:30, first dark sky, looking to the south, there was what I thought to be Orion's belt. And, of course, I associate Orion, that constellation, with Christmas, because it usually comes up in late November and into December and January around Christmas here in the Northern Hemisphere. So I thought, could that be Orion? And you tell me it is.
Oh, yes, because Orion then would have been starting to set in the evening. Even in the Southern Hemisphere, it would have been setting about the same time as it does here, because Orion straddles the equator.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the belt stars are right on the celestial equator.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it was interesting to see it, and for a moment there I thought it was December.
Yeah, you might have thought that, except it was setting, not rising. And the other thing is that if you go much further south and you're there, when Orion is high in the sky, Orion will be upside down.
Huh.
And that's really puzzling.
How was your trip to Brazil? We haven't spoken with you since then.
Oh, it was fabulous. It was, I gave a lecture there, you know, my typical lecture, and where I talk about Shoemaker-Levy 9, and I showed a picture, a slideshow of the comet before the impact and then the impacts. And while I was showing the slides, I was playing Christa Berg's famous song, Live the Lady in Red, which I dedicated to Wendy because she was dressed kind of in red when I first met her on our first date. And as I was playing this music and showing the slides, I turned to the audience, and they had their cell phone lights on, all of them, and they were doing a cosmic dance with their flashlights all over the auditorium, and it was wonderful. I'll never forget that. It was the most interesting thing I've ever encountered during a lecture.
One thing that may not be so interesting is your recent comet hunting, correct?
yeah. But before we get into that, I need to say that today is my mother's 99th birthday.
Congratulations.
I will be calling her shortly after our interview is over.
99.
So
wow.
She's 99 years young today.
Hmm.
Anyway, now, you were asking about the current state of my comet hunting.
That's correct.
I still enjoy it very much. I enjoy it almost as much as I used to during the heyday. But it is kind of not really hunting anymore with an expectation that I'm going to find something, although I might. I'm actually hunting because I still enjoy doing it. As long as I enjoy it, I will continue it. But the morning I wake up and I say, this isn't fun anymore, I'll probably stop and do other things.
Well, you can certainly do other things by looking at some beautiful summer viewing that we've got coming up, right?
Oh, yeah. We've got lovely summer ahead with meteor showers, the Delta Aquarius at the end of July, and the Perseids in August. The Perseids will be near new moon, so they should be pretty spectacular this year, and we're really looking forward for a good show that we might be able to see if the sky is clear from our southern Arizona.
And we're going to get a good view of Venus, I think, and the moon and Jupiter this weekend, actually.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The moon's going to be very bright.
Mm-hmm.
And in the morning, when it's in the morning, the Jupiter will be in the evening sky and the moon will be close to it. Venus will be all across in the morning sky, so it won't be part of the conjunction. But the planet that's really getting to be spectacular now is Saturn.
Hmm.
And Saturn is, especially with the Cassini spacecraft about to do its swan song, Saturn is really a delightful planet to look at. With any telescope, it is gorgeous to see those rings.
So even a really entry-level telescope, you're going to get a nice look at Saturn.
Oh, yeah, I would say so. Even with a small beginning telescope, will be good enough to show Saturn's rings. You've seen them in pictures, but there is nothing quite like seeing them in real life.
So true. David, how about the David Levy Buckmaster Show Quote of the Month?
Quote of the Month this month is from Senator Carl Schurz. He gave a lecture in Faneuil Hall in Boston on April the 18th, 1859, on the eve of the Civil War. And he said, "Ideals are like stars. You will not succeed in touching them with your hands. But like the seafaring man on the desert of waters, you choose them as your guides, and following them, you will reach your destiny."
Mm, very nice, very nice. We've got that, you've got some traveling coming. Now, wait a minute, the total eclipse is this summer? Is that correct?
Yes, that's coming up on
it's
August
coming up.
21st.
Yeah.
That'll actually be the highlight of the summer.
Uh-huh.
Wendy and I will be in Madras, Oregon, hopefully to catch the total phase of the eclipse. Here in Tucson, it will be a partial, a pretty deep one, but if you have to travel a little bit if you want to see the total phase.
Well, hopefully you will get a good view and there won't be any rain up in the northwest.
Yeah, hopefully. And, you know, it's all right if you miss this one. There'll be a total eclipse of the sun in Tucson, I think, in about 450 years from now.
There you go. Well, I hear the bells chiming. That means we're going to have to wrap it up here.
Yeah.
David, okay. Dr. David Levy, always a pleasure. Thank you. And I think we'll get you all set for our visit in July. Thank you so much. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant. Named after the classic New Orleans cocktail, Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and this portion presented by our friends in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. What a great getaway as things warm up here in Arizona. Over in Silver City, with a mile-high elevation, you get some very pleasant days and still cool nights. Just a three-hour drive over to Silver City. So much to do, including a visit to the Western New Mexico University Museum. I've been there, and I cannot believe what a beautiful collection, large collection of Mimbres pottery that they have there. I think it's the largest collection of Mimbres pottery in the world there at Western New Mexico in Silver City. Go to southwestnewmexico.org. That's their website. Has a full listing of the many, several dozen things to do, to recreate in that beautiful area, and great places to stay as well. The listing is there on the website. Now back to the live line. Priscilla Cornelio is the transportation director for Pima County. She's with us on the live line. Priscilla, how are you?
Hey, good. How are you doing?
Doing very well. We just had a nice conversation at the top of the program with Councilman Steve Kasacek. He's very jazzed, very happy about the passage of the sales tax increase, with a lot of that dedicated to road work and repairs. Is there any impact other than perhaps a psychological one showing that area residents do want better roads? Is there any impact for Pima County?
Oh, absolutely. What I am so thrilled about, you know, I've been with the county for, 12 years or so?
Yeah.
I've never had much money to do the good things with my roads. I've always been a little envious of the city of Tucson when they had their proposition that the voters approved, was it 4 years ago? And so their roads are looking better and my roads are looking worse. But with our tentative budget adoption by the Board of Supervisors, it includes monies that we're going to take they're going to be increasing the property tax, but those monies are going to go for road repair. And it's going to be shared not only in the unincorporated area of Pima County, but for Marana, Oro Valley, Sahuarita, South Tucson, and City of Tucson. So I'm really excited. It's about $19.6 million a year will be raised.
What can you do with that money, Priscilla?
Well, we're sitting there looking at, and the board has basically specified that it's only going to be for local roads. And I've just preparing here for our interview, I was kind of looking at it, and I have 748 miles of local roads in poor or failed condition. This is in the unincorporated area. Mm. So it's about 63% of our local roads are in pretty bad shape. So the only, you know, we're going to try to, you know, implement this whole program, and I'm really, really excited about it. But it's going to be a hard task how we're going to pick the roads that are going to get the treatment. That's going to be the hard part.
So are these neighborhood roads, or are they what's called kind of secondary roads? Give us some examples of the type of roads that would be included.
No, these are local neighborhood roads.
Okay.
And they're not the, you know, any major collector roadways. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like I have a list of all of these, the roadways that we have. And, I mean, they go all over the place. I mean, some of the names that we have.
Yeah, throw out a couple of names here for
okay.
It.
I have I'm sitting here with for District 5, we're looking at West Quail Road, West Roadrunner Road. There's a Sally Road. And this, I just grabbed this thing. This is in mm-hmm. District 5. And Mossman Road, Nebraska Street. So you can sort of see these are little local kinds of roadways. It's like you and I don't say, oh, yeah, I remember driving by this
right,
road.
Right, right. So total of the number of these roads, including probably my neighborhood up in District 1 in Fletcher Caeta, you've mm-hmm. got what? Are you talking about hundreds of these or what?
Well, what we have 1,250 miles of local roads. Mm-hmm. This is in the unincorporated area. And what we figure that we're going to have to do is to do a whole subdivision. Because, for example, I can't do one road in your subdivision because I think your neighbors wouldn't be too happy, you know. So we figure that we're going to have to do a subdivision.
Right.
But the hard part is we got almost 2,000 subdivisions.
Whoa.
In the county. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
We got a lot of them. Mm-hmm. So, I think a hard part of this is going to be how you pick the roads. And what we're talking about, again, this is something that's initial conversations. It's obviously the Board of Supervisors going to have to make that determination. But I think we're talking about doing what the City of Tucson did. They appointed a citizen committee.
Mm-hmm.
And the citizen committee picked the roads to be done.
Right.
So in other words, you know, I wouldn't be picking or necessarily, somebody else within the county picking it.
Mm-hmm.
But what we see is the recommendation would be made by the committee, which ultimately goes to the Board of Supervisors to approve it.
So it's like the city has had this oversight committee,
yes.
First with this program that's going to be expiring, and now with the new five-year program,
right.
Again, there'll be the oversight. So this might be a good idea for the county then to have that as well.
That's exactly what we thought about, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then we had suggested to the City of Tucson that in the program we have, okay, so it's about $19.6 million the first year, and we're going to be giving it, sharing it with the other local jurisdictions. And so the City of Tucson will be getting $8 million a year.
Really?
From the county, yes. And so what we suggested is that just use your citizen committee to help pick those roads to be using with that $8 million. So the city is going to be doing good. They have their money that they're getting from their tax, and then you'll be getting the money from the county from the property tax.
So it's been a while, hasn't it, since there's been some kind of a program like this in the county, right? I mean, a long time.
Exactly, a long time. We said, why bother trying to put together a program when we didn't have any money to fund it?
Yeah. Now, you said, as I recall, did you say about 6 out of 10 of our roads are in what you call bad shape? Is that correct?
About 60. 67%.
Yeah.
63%.
63%. So how do you characterize, when you do your assessment, you and your team at the Department of Transportation, how do you assess what a how the condition is of a road? What is it like in your business? How do you grade that?
Well, you go and you're looking if there are alligator cracks and, you know, and how big the cracks are on the roadways, you know, and if there's, raveling on the edges of the roadway. Obviously, if we have some roads that are constantly full of potholes, then, you know, that's another thing that you're looking at. And, I know of some roads that were never really paved in the beginning, that they had just a little chip seal, and that was done, you know, 15, 20 years ago. And there's almost nothing left but the dirt.
Mm.
Almost, yeah. So we have some really bad roads. We do have some good roads, but unfortunately it's not that many.
And when could this, if the board, and they have given tentative approval, if this gets the final approval, when would you and your team start to work on this?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm pushing to, you know, that we got to do it ASAP. And so I've been, you know, initial conversations with the county administrator to say, how fast can we do this? And, you know, we're thinking about if we want to have our committee that, you know, be appointed and maybe try to meet with them weekly to try to say, let's decide on some of these roads quickly so that we can, you know, go out to bid with them. I would hope that we can have the dirt flying, you know, in some neighborhoods, some locations in September or so. That's my hope. That's my goal.
What about potholes? Are you still trying to do some patching, right?
Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, yeah, we're still doing potholes.
And what can people do? I always like to give the number out, Priscilla Cornelio, about the who can they call if there's a pothole that they believe really needs immediate attention.
Right. And I do encourage people to call in for the potholes. The number that we have is 724-2639. And and as I say, that if we have a pothole on one of our major streets, it's a safety hazard, you know, because you have lots of traffic and high volumes. So if somebody calls in a pothole on one of those streets, you know, we'll try to get out within a week to do it. If it's a local subdivision street that, you know, has maybe 1,000 cars a day, if that, it might take us a couple months to get there to fill the pothole. But that's what we want to do, is to fill those potholes. And we can't be everywhere, so we don't know the pothole location. So I encourage people to call us with them.
In your industry, are things better? Are things improving the type of materials that are used that give you a little more longevity than before?
Well,
or is it still pretty basic?
It's pretty basic. But one of the things that we implemented, I'd say maybe 6-9 months ago, is we have what we call a super crew.
Mm-hmm.
So our staff and operations works 4 days a week, you know, 10-hour days from Monday through Thursday. And then the super crew works Fridays and Saturdays. They work during the week, but they also work on a Friday and a Saturday. So we are filling potholes every day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been keeping up with it all. So actually, our complaints have gone way down.
Hmm. That's great. And again, the number, if someone has an issue, and let's see if I wrote this down, 724-20.
No.
Did I get that wrong?
You got that wrong.
Okay, go ahead.
784.
Okay.
376. No, I'm sorry. Oh, sorry. I was looking at the wrong number. I apologize. 724-2639. You had it right. I had it wrong there for a second.
Very good. Priscilla Cornelio, some good news for
absolutely
on the road ahead here for us. Thank you very much. Hope you have a great afternoon. Thanks.
And you too. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Priscilla Cornelio. For 12 years now, she has been heading up the Pima County Department of Transportation. Well, one place that I'll be stopping off this weekend, because I need another one of the fine rose bushes, rose plants. I always go to Green Things. They are my go-to nursery for everything green, and I think they should be for you as well. 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. It seems like every time I go buy Green Things, Jan and Jack, the owners, are putting more things on 13 acres, and together they have a huge selection. 33 greenhouses full of beautiful plants. They've got, of course, some lovely pottery and all the gardening supplies that go along with a great hobby of gardening. Green Things, their website, greenthingsaz.com. Coming up this afternoon, Ray Allen is back in the chair on the other side of the glass. That means he'll be with Mike Shaw, and together, the two of them will put together a great hour from 4 to 5 with Mike Check with Mike Shaw this afternoon. Then we do more local talk starting tomorrow morning, 6 to 9. Wake Up Tucson, then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with Congresswoman McSally will be my Friday Focus interview tomorrow. Hope you'll join us. Until then, Ray and I wish you the best of afternoons and evenings.